Our scripture this evening is taken from the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I'll be reading verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We thank God for blessing his holy word. And please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, in just a few moments, the choir will have performed all of the music that they've been practicing for the last couple of months. We will have been singing all of the Christmas carols that we're going to sing tonight. We remember the angels sang on this first night too. In a few moments, we will have heard that Christmas story and we'll ponder it again. And near the end of our service, not long from now, we'll come to the table and all of us will share together the bread and the cup. It's a strange juxtaposition, if you think about it, on Christmas that we gather here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and in the end of the service we're going to remember the purpose for which he came. And you may remember Simeon in the story of Mary and Joseph presenting the baby Jesus to be dedicated. You may remember that there was a man in the temple by the name of Simeon who said to Mary, "This child shall be a sword to your heart." We'll remember all of those things, but then what we most look forward to, I think, and everybody gets a candle when they come in, is after the communion service, the lights will be extinguished, and it will be fairly dark in here, save for the candles in front. And it will be dark for a moment or two. And when it's dark, something will happen to us. It's somewhat mysterious. It's sacred. It feels holy, even though no words are being said. In that darkness, shoulder to shoulder with our neighbors, in that silence, we worship. My preaching professor in seminary said, when it comes to Christmas and Easter, the less words, the better. Can you imagine a preaching professor saying that? I can imagine congregants saying that, the less words the better. But he's right. There's something holy about this night. Now, having said all of that, when we turn the lights off here and there's 200 plus people, it feels holy and sacred. But it's not always that way in the sanctuary when the lights are off. Have you ever been in a sanctuary at 3 in the morning? If you had, I want to ask you why. But let me tell you, I've been in this sanctuary at 3 a.m. in the morning, and it's scary. It's dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face. I'm thinking about 20 years ago, one of the youth, and I think that youth is here tonight, took me aside and said, he wanted to tell me about something that had happened the week before. He was at youth group, and they started out youth group here in the front. And so he took his coat and laid it over one of the front pews. Well, then after that, they went downstairs, and they had the rest of youth group. And about 8 o'clock, they were wrapping up. It was winter, and it was dark outside. And he told the youth leader, when just a few kids were left downstairs, "I have to go upstairs and get my coat." And he said, "Go ahead." So our youth came up to the back sanctuary doors there, opened them up, and he said, "When I opened them up, Pastor, it was just dark black in here, and I couldn't see my way in front of my hands, in front of my face." I said, "Well, why didn't you turn the lights on?" He said, "I didn't know where they were." "Well, did you get your coat?" He said, "Yeah, I came down to the pews, and I found the aisle, and then I started feeling my way up the pews." And he said, and I got a little faster when I got toward the front because it was getting a little scary. And when I got to the front and I grabbed my coat, and I know you're not supposed to do this, Pastor, but I turned around and I ran down the aisle out of the church. And when he's telling me this, I'm laughing, and I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "You know what? You don't need to be afraid in a sanctuary. Because when you're in the sanctuary, it's the safest place on earth. No need to be afraid." Well, 2-3 months later, I got a call around 1 in the morning. One of the congregants in the hospital, an emergency. I got dressed. I went to Passavant Hospital. I spent about an hour there with the family. And then as I'm driving home, I thought, you know, I think I left my suit coat here in the church the last Sunday. I'm always doing that. I'm always leaving things up front here. We have two cats, and they do the same thing. We have these little pipe cleaners that we throw, and they chase them. And the next morning, I find them in the water dish or in the food bowl. It's their way of saying, "Feed me," or "Thank you," or "Hey, look at this." I don't know what. But anyway, I'm always leaving suit coats or phones or notes or books up here, so I thought, I'm just going to stop by the church and pick up the suit coat. Came in here about 2 in the morning, pitch black. Surprisingly, nobody was here. I came in the door, the sanctuary door, and I went to turn on the lights because I know where they are. So I thought, okay, I'll turn on the lights. And something said to me, "You know what? You just told that youth there's nothing to be afraid of. So just go get your coat." So I waited for my eyes to adjust, which isn't easy when there's not a lot of light. But I could find the pathway here, the aisle, and I started coming up. And I'm so glad we don't have cameras in the sanctuary. None of you are here to see this. But I'm coming down, and then I'm starting to go just like that youth. I'm starting to go a little bit faster. I just want to get up here, get that coat, get out of here. And when I got to the front here, I don't know why, but I just forgot there were 2 steps. So, and I fell flat on my face right here. Boy, did I grab that coat and get out of here quick. And thankfully, there was no blood because it wouldn't match the carpet. Why, when we're alone, are we so scared in the dark? It doesn't matter how old you are. There's just something creepy about it. I know I've told some of you that story about the little boy whose mother says to him, "Son, go out on the porch and get me the broom." Well, it's 9:30 at night and it's dark. And the little boy says, "Mommy, it's dark outside." She goes, "I know, but just go out there on the porch and get the broom." And he says, "I'm afraid." And she said, "You don't need to be afraid. You know, Jesus is with you. Jesus is out there." "Are you sure Jesus is out there, Mom?" "Yes, he is." So the little boy gets up and he walks to the screen door and he looks out on the porch and he says, "Jesus, are you out there? And if you're out there, could you hand me the broom?" Now, Matthew makes an incredible claim. Not like the boy's little mother. The boy's little mother says, "Jesus is out there." But Matthew in his gospel makes an almost absurd claim, an astonishing claim. He says, "Jesus is here. His name will be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. In the dark, in the light, in the day, in the night. And that's what we celebrate tonight. The writer of the book of Hebrews put it this way. He said, "In years and generations past, the Lord spoke to us through his prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son." Emmanuel, God with us. As a pastor, I've always believed that one of the greatest gifts is church. Because as a Christian, it's hard to walk in the dark alone. And that's why God not only has given us Jesus Christ, but he's given us disciples, brothers, and sisters in the flesh. And when we need it, when we need a joy to share, it's multiplied with somebody else. When we need to suffer and cry, we have a shoulder with somebody else. We forget what a great gift it is, not just to have God in the human flesh, but to have our brothers and sisters. And here we are tonight. And we've heard so often about how the incarnation has taken place. I want to read you a story from a fellow named Frederick Ruff. The book is Bewildered Travel. He wrote this book because he loves to travel. Travels all around the world. And he says that travel opens us up. It gives us a way of seeing the world in a different way. And so he was in Morocco. I was in the Tangier train station waiting to go to Fez. It's a small station and was crowded. A young Canadian came up to me and said, "Can I stand near you, please?" He had just been robbed at knife point, and he needed to feel a little bit safer. So he said again, "Can I stand near you, please?" He'd also been shaken down that morning in the station, accused of drug possession by a policeman who demanded money. He and I traveled together for the next week, each needing to stand near the other. But since then, that phrase, that question, "Can I stand near you, please?" has echoed in my ear. It needn't be too close, just near. And it needn't be too comfortable. Standing is fine. But we needed it. We always need it. You and I need it just as much as those in the first century in Bethlehem on the first Christmas night. And thanks be to God, Emmanuel, God is with us. And sometimes it takes the darkness to remember what a great gift the light actually is. So tonight, remember that as we share the elements together and celebrate the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand together and sing as we prepare our hearts and minds for the communion table. You may be seated. The table has been set for us, as I mentioned before. On the night in which we remember Jesus' birth, we also remember the night before he was betrayed and before he died. People say Jesus gives us a free gift, and it is a free gift for us. But in the observance of communion tonight, we'll remember how much it cost our Lord. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Savior met with his disciples, and he took with the bread and gave it to the disciples and said to them, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And also after supper, our Savior took the cup, and giving it to his disciples, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink of it, all of you." Here at North Hills Community Baptist Church, we practice what we call open communion, which means if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're trying to live in love with your brothers and sisters, you're most welcome to come to the table. In a moment, those you see in front of you will move among the congregation. We'll distribute first the bread, and when we've all been served, we'll come up and serve one another, and then we'll eat the bread together. And afterwards, we'll do the same with the cup. The prayer for the cup tonight, the bread rather, will be given by Mike Wirtz.
Pray with me, please. Eternal and loving God, as we gather to celebrate the birth of your Son, who you freely gave as our Savior, we ask that you bless the bread we were about to partake of, cleanse our hearts, and let us fully appreciate what has been done for us. Amen.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."